This is a Bible teaching podcast from www.lumen.org.uk. The presenter is Jeff Lumley.
We come to Romans chapter 12, and in coming to Romans chapter 12, we come to what in a sermon would be called the application. Paul begins to speak about, okay, so on the light of everything I've been teaching you, this is how you should live. This is what you have to do. It starts with the word therefore. Therefore, in the light of what I've talked about, the moving away from God, which we looked at in chapter 1, the fact that God's way of dealing with people hasn't changed, and we've seen how he dealt with Adam, and we've seen how he dealt with Abraham and others in the past, and we've seen the fact that, you know, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the life in Christ Jesus, which has set me free from sin and death. What does all of this mean? He's talked about the fact that there is now a coming together of Jew and Gentile in the purposes of God. And all need to come to God through Jesus. What therefore does it mean? And chapter 12 starts with, well, in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You see, some, and this is alluded to elsewhere in the New Testament, say, well, if God has done all this and our sin is covered by Christ, we can live as we want because our sin is covered. And Paul is saying, no. You don't get perfect in order to be saved, but you have been made perfect, holy, acceptable in God's sight. And you are saved in order to live for God as a living sacrifice. My life is no longer my own. I have been bought with a price. Give yourself to God. This is our act of worship. This is our spiritual act of worship. This is what is expected. In view of what Jesus has done for us, this is how we respond. And I remember an old story, which I suspect was simply invented to illustrate this point, but it was at a slave market, and there was a slave girl on sale, and this man bid for her and bought her. And the chains are handed over to him, and he drags her off the stage, and she's kicking and screaming, I hate you, I don't want to work for you. And he drags her off round out of the public square into a quiet street. She's kicking and screaming, and suddenly he does something she doesn't expect. He unlocks her chains and lets them drop to the ground. And he said, I bought you in order to set you free. And she gasps, you bought me to set me free? I'll serve you forever. That's what Paul is talking about here. God has bought us at a price to set us free from sin, to give us salvation, to make us holy and righteous in his sight. We serve him forever. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices. That is what he calls us to do. Do not, verse 2, conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And many people will talk about this means you turn from sin and you don't do this and you don't do that. Actually, that's not, I think, what he means. The world's way of thinking is essentially atheistic, it's materialistic, it's hedonistic. Let your mind be transformed so that your mind is focused on Jesus and worshipping him and the spiritual aspect of life and God being there and God being in control. Let your mind be retuned to the truth of eternity. Let your mind be retuned to the truth of Jesus and of God the Father. And when your mind is retuned in that way and you begin to understand the world in that way, your whole thinking changes and you are no longer conforming to the pattern of this world, because you begin to see things as God intended. You begin to see things the way God would want them to be seen. Then, having had your mind transformed, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Because now you understand spiritual truths, you begin to see how good God's will is and how good God's purposes are and how that is the best way to live. That is the first point Paul is making here. That is the first bit of his, in the light of everything I've taught you in this letter of Romans, you live with your mind focused on God. And then he goes on to say, you know, because of God, what God has given me, I'm saying to every one of you, I'm passing on something of what God has given me. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Paul's saying this, for goodness sake. Paul saying, I must not think of myself more highly than I should. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, I must not think of myself more highly than I should. I think of myself in accordance with who Jesus is and who I am in the light of him. I'm not going to compare myself with other people. I'm going to compare myself with Jesus. So think of yourself with a sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has given you. And he goes on to say, like the body has many members, so we all have many parts. This is a repeated theme in the New Testament, isn't it? And each of these members of these parts have different functions. So your hand has a different function to your foot, your finger to your toe, your ear to your eye, and so on. And elsewhere he says, it's no point the foot thinking I want to be a hand. No, the foot is designed for a purpose and it needs to fulfill the purpose of being a foot. And he's saying the same thing here. We together form the body of Christ. I, Paul, I am an apostle, but you might be, and he gives a list, doesn't he, of things. You may be a prophet, in which case prophesy to the level of your faith, to the level of your understanding. You might be a server, serve. You might be a teacher, teach. You might be an encourager, encourage. You might be a giver financially, give financially. You might be a leader, lead well. Do all of these things and don't try to be what you're not. It's very tempting to want the miraculous powers. It's very tempting to want to be the person who says, thus says the Lord, and stands up and prophesies and people go, wow, how did he ever know that? It's very tempting to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. And at times, all of us, I suspect, will do those things. But what is your gift? What is your calling? What is your ministry? That's what you need to focus on. And that's what you need to allow God to use. And not try to be something else. In the light of everything he's taught in Romans, in the light of the whole spiritual dimension that has been mapped out in Romans, change your thinking. Allow God and the spiritual dimension to dominate your thinking. Turn off the newspapers, the television, the radio, the films, even the books you read. Turn them off as the dominant feature. Put them in their place. No one's saying don't do them, but put them in their place. They are not the things that feed your understanding of the world. Your understanding of the world tells you how to relate to what you've just heard on the television. That wasn't quite true, was it? Because that didn't fit in with God. That's atheistic. That's off-beam. That has missed the point. I understand God, I can see that stuff they're teaching on television is foolishness. Let your mind be transformed to be like the mind of Christ, who did not cling to equality with God, but took on our nature, being made as nothing, in order to win us. That's the living sacrifice. That's what we should be like. What is it that God wants me to do that I can win people for his kingdom? What is it that God wants me to do that I can reflect his glory? What is it that God wants me to think that I can be included in worship today and be praising him and focused on him? So the first bit of this, okay, in the light of all of this, this is what you must do, is about changing your mind, lining your mind up with all the truths he's been talking about in Romans, lining your mind up with all that Jesus has taught us, lining your mind up with God, getting a picture of Jesus, getting a picture of the Father, and being filled with the Spirit. Verse 8 finishes with, let him do it cheerfully. And that's what we're called to do. And we go on in chapter 12, chapter 13, and so on, looking at other ways that we live for God in the light of everything Paul has taught in Romans. But we start by saying, my mind has got to be God-focused, God-centered, and the truths of eternity and the truths of God and the truths of Scripture have got to be what dominate the way I think and the way I interpret what the godless are saying. And whether I accept or reject what the godless are saying are dependent on what God says, not on how clever they are. So I'll read it again. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Bring your mind in line with God. That means fill it with the Scriptures, not newspapers. That means acknowledge God's dominion, God's kingdom, and not man's ways. Fill your mind with God. Be transformed in your mind. That's the first message of what you have to do in the light of everything we've been reading in Romans.
He's forgiven you. Ooh. How can you doubt that he loves you?
The music is by graceforall.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening.